Hey, Shanna, did you know that you can purchase audiobooks directly from your local bookstore?
Yes. With Libro.fm, you'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company out there. You know the name. But with Libro.fm, you get to search up your local indie bookstore and support them instead.
And if you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to squeeze more reading into your busy life. I constantly have a book in my ear because cleaning the house or exercising is so much more fun while reading.
Sign up for Libro.fm and use the code GOODBOOKS to get 2 books instead of 1 for the price of your first month's membership. Good books.
Good books.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Best Book Club podcast.
We are your hosts, Jen and Shanna.
And welcome to this week's episode of What We're Reading and Other Stuff.
So, Shanna, I know you have just been dying to tell me what you've been reading.
Yes, I have. I was actually just quickly scribbling all of my books down because I don't have my reading log. It is at work. So I was like, how am I going to remember to tell her everything? But I have to tell you about this one first because I think you will like it the best. I read Athena's Child by Hannah Lynn. Have you read it?
I have not.
This was a Medusa book.
Oh, cool.
Yes. So, you know, I had a sudden Medusa craving, like you do. And I looked up every Medusa book, and this was not actually on the shortlist, but then somehow it ended up being the one that I picked. So it is, yeah, Athena's Child. It's by Hannah Lynn, and it's a Medusa retelling. And we follow Medusa when she was a priestess, when she was young. And then turns out her and Poseidon had a very terrible run-in. Mm-hmm. It's very violent. And then Athena, absolute biatch, cursed her as Medusa. Then we go to the future, and our other point of view is Perseus, who is the guy who killed Medusa. So it's just a really neat retelling of the story, and it gives Medusa a lot of kind of her humanity back. And it's, I mean, it depends on, I guess, what version of Medusa you're reading. But this was a really nice one, and it made her just like a nice, you know, person. It didn't turn her into just like the monster Medusa. And yes, it's very good. But then I found out it is part of a series, the Grecian Women Trilogy, that this author is writing. So we've got Athena's Child, and then what I'm reading right now is called A Spartan's Sorrow. And this one, I was so excited to start because it is following Clytemnestra. You can probably say it better than me. Agamemnon's wife. Clytemnestra. Yes, so she was Iphigenia's mom. Mm-hmm. And yes, this is a mom who is full of vengeance, and I am just so ready for any story that is about plotting to kill Agamemnon. Oh, God, I hate his name.
You know who you're talking about.
You know it. And yeah, I thought it was so funny the other day because I turned to my husband for like the 2 times a year. I have to turn to him and say, just so you know, if you ever sacrifice any of our children, I will murder you in cold blood. Yeah. It's just like, why do you say this to me so often?
Because we read so many books about Agamemnon. Like, whenever he's in a book, you just have to make sure Andrew is aware.
Do not sacrifice the kids.
This is not okay.
Every time I read this story, and I've just read it like a weird number of times now, and I plan to read it many more, I am always equally angry. Mm-hmm. I am always equally shocked, and I always think that maybe it's going to be different this time.
It's never different. No, not ever. I always want to think that I like Athena, but she's always the worst.
She's the worst. Yeah, she is so self-centered and like, what a butt.
Yeah. But yeah, that sounds really good.
So good. So yeah, Medusa and then Clytemnestra. And then the next one, the last one in the trilogy, is like the Amazons.
Okay, cool.
And whatever that story is, that's one out of the three that I was least interested in, just because I don't already know whatever the story is going to be. But, you know, I'm always down for expanding my Greek mythology.
Well, we know a little bit, I think. She's the one that had the sister.
Yes. One of the sisters goes to Greece, I think, with them. Yep. And the other one stays to lead the Amazons.
Yeah. I can't remember, but I know it would come back to me if I started reading. It'd come back to me. We do know it. We just don't know that we know it, really.
That one's, out of all of them, like, definitely my weakest.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to read it because also one of the prompts on the Pop Sugar Reading Challenge is a book that's not a patriarchal society.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that qualifies.
Yep.
And yeah, the writing in the first one was good. It wasn't like fantastic. It's better in the second one. So I'm wondering if it's going to just keep improving. This author's written like a ton of stuff. So yeah.
Cool.
That's what I'm currently reading. I feel I've been talking for a million years. What are you reading, Jen?
You have not been. You've been talking for less than 6 minutes.
Oh, wow. I guess I've just been so excited to tell you about this. I can't even like stop. Not telling you has been
terrible.
Difficult. Yes. You're the only other person in my life who cares when I'm reading Greek stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm definitely going to have to check those ones out.
Yes.
But yeah, I can go with one. I can take a turn. Okay, so I read a book called The Hours by Michael Cunningham. And oh my God, it was so good. I was so happy about it. He is a gay author, so it goes really well for Pride Month. And he writes a lot of gay characters, so there's a lot of those in this book. It is about... Okay, we've got three separate timelines. We've got Virginia Woolf writing Mrs. Dalloway, and then we have a woman named Laura Brown, and she's reading Mrs. Dalloway in 1949, I think. And then we have a woman named Clarissa, and she is kind of living the life of Mrs. Dalloway in kind of the 90s. So we're following these three women, and it is just so interesting the way he connects all of their stories. And yeah, they all have kind of this like queer aspect running through it as well. And
do I have to have read Mrs. Dalloway?
I don't think so, because I haven't read Mrs. Dalloway, but I want to. Okay. I really want to read Mrs. Dalloway now, but I'm also a little bit worried that I'll be disappointed, but I don't know why. I'm just not really good with classics, I guess. And I want to be someone who reads Virginia Woolf and like likes it.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit intimidated, I guess, but I'm really interested in reading it. I read the book because there's a movie adaptation where Nicole Kidman plays Virginia Woolf and Julianne Moore plays Laura Brown, and then Meryl Streep plays Clarissa. And in the book, this isn't my favorite thing in the book, but like I love when stuff like this happens. In the book, the character Clarissa lives in New York, and she's walking down the street, and she sees someone. They're like shooting a movie, and she sees an actress, and she's like, "Is that Meryl Streep? I think it is." And then it comes up a few times, like, "Oh yeah, that time when I saw Meryl Streep outside." And then Meryl Streep plays that character in the movie. And I love it. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It made me so happy. It was so good. But yeah, the writing is really beautiful. It is very dark, but not in the way that made me feel bleak. Like, I don't know how to explain, because it's very suicide heavy. So content warning for suicide. But I mean, there's not really a lot of joy or hope in the book either, but it just... It just still made me feel good. Not feel good, but it didn't, I don't know.
Did it make you feel bad?
It didn't make me feel bad. I don't know. It's hard to explain how the bad things make me feel bad and how the bad things make me feel good. But yeah, no, it's really, really good. I really, really enjoyed it.
Is it big? It sounds big.
It's not, I don't think. I think it's pretty short. I read it on my e-reader, so I have a hard time judging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's almost impossible.
Like, yeah, like, I don't know. Depends how tired I am and how big I make the font.
Oh, sometimes my font has been like the size of my pinky nail lately. I'm like, I'm 100 right. years old. What is right. going on?
It's like 9,000 pages because there's like one letter on each page.
And then my thumb's getting sore. I'm like, man, I'm clicking yeah. a lot.
Yeah, so definitely highly recommend that book. I would love to hear what anybody else thinks about it.
Nice. Sounds like a good one.
Yeah. Do you have another one? Do you want to go next? Are we taking turns?
I have. Yeah, let's do a little different this week.
Ooh.
I have two more.
Me too.
I think I read more than that, but doesn't matter. These are the ones I could remember.
Yeah, the other ones suck probably.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Good.
Or we're going to talk about them next week. So
yeah,
they don't matter. Okay, this one is The Husband's Secret by Leanne Moriarty. This was the one that I had my library hold come in, and then I had accidentally put a hold on the ebook instead of the audiobook, and I was devastated because I'd waited for like 7 weeks.
Oh my God.
Like, it was so bad.
That happens to you often.
I know. I think maybe sometimes I think I'll actually use my Kobo.
Oh, yeah.
And then it comes through and I'm like, Joanna, no, you're not going to do this. You always have a book already going on the Kindle. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, so I was so sad. And then Jen said, yo, I have a credit. Go buy it. I was like, oh, yeah. Thanks. Thanks, dude. So I did. And I listened to it right away. I was in like a thriller mood. And the thing about Leanne Moriarty is I always think that she's like a thriller writer. Mm-hmm. Which she kind of is because she's on thriller lists. But I think it's mostly because her last name is Moriarty, which is like a bad guy from Sherlock Holmes. Oh. So it's just like tricked me.
Yeah. She's like, why am I on all these thriller lists?
Like she does – they're kind of thrillers, but not like normal thrillers. They are – like they've always got these great twists in them. Mm-hmm. And they're really different. They're always set in Australia because she's an Australian writer, which is always kind of a nice – for me, I know you hate Australian.
Apparently.
No, she doesn't. She just thinks she does.
Yeah.
No. No, so it's always got like just a little – like it's all pretty normal like stuff that I know, but it's always got like little twists of, I don't know, Australian stuff. So it's exotic to me as a Canadian. Yeah, so she's got like really, really strong characters and she writes women really, really well. She's always got mothers who are just like actually like real mothers. And the way that her books are always written is different character points of view. So like this one, Husband's Secret, was three different women. One of them is like your perfect pack mom. She's got a perfect marriage. She's got these perfect children. She's makes a lot of money. She's beautiful. Like she's just perfect. And then her husband, she's just cleaning the attic and she finds a letter that says, like, only open this when I'm dead. And so she's like, huh, well, I'm going to ask him about it. And then he gets super, super weird about it. And she's like, oh, well, now I probably should open it, right? Anyway, so that's one of them. She does end up opening it and it changes everything in her whole entire life, what this letter says. The other woman that we follow is another mom and she has like a perfect marriage, but then her husband... And there's a split, so they've got marriage problems. And then she takes her kid, and then she kind of single moms it up and like a dating thing. And then there's a grieving mother. So she's a grandma. Her daughter was murdered when she was a teenager. And so she also has another like surviving child. And all of these people's stories weave together just really beautifully. It just gets like tighter and tighter and tighter. Until like the end when, you know, shocking things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what all of her books are like. And they're just always really good. And I just love her. This one was great.
Awesome.
The one that I liked the least was the one where Nicole Kidman plays main character with Nine Perfect Strangers. But that one was still good. Like I've really loved everything I've read of hers so far.
Yeah, I haven't read anything. So maybe this is one I'll give a try.
Yeah, this one was great. And I really liked Apples Never Fall too.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Sounds good.
It was great.
Sounds like if you have a letter that's going to change someone's, like, your whole family's lives, you should probably, like, give it to a lawyer or something.
That is what she said.
Not just, like, put it in the attic.
She's like, but perfect organization. She's like a Tupperware salesman. Like, she just, everything is in perfectly sized things, except her husband has like one corner of the house where he just puts stuff in shoe boxes. And yeah, that's where she finds it.
Like, yeah. There's nothing in my house that's hidden from me. I know everything. Like,
even things I don't know. If Andrew asks, all of a sudden I do.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that's great. Leah Moriarty, recommend her. I like her.
Awesome. All right. Well, so last week we talked about Flowers of the Attic. So if anyone wants to hear what we thought of that book, please listen to that episode.
It
was
entertaining.
But after I listened to that one, I was like, I just wanted to stay on the VC Andrews train because it was just a fun ride. Obviously, I've read the book 100 times, but it was just, I just had such a good time listening to it. So I decided to move on to another VC Andrews book. And for some reason, I read someone write a review somewhere on probably Facebook that said, "My Sweet Audrina is the worst book ever written." And I was like, yes.
Audrina. Yeah. Oh, no.
I was like, yes, that's the one for me.
Of course you did.
Because, I have, you know, that this morbid curiosity. If someone says a book is terrible, I have to know why.
Well, all I can think is My Dark Vanessa. My Sweet Audrina, My Dark Vanessa.
Oh, my God. Well, it's not the same, but it... Okay. So this is what the book is about. Little girl, her sister was attacked by a bunch of boys in the woods and raped and killed. So then she was born and they named, so her sister's name was Audrina. So then this other little girl is born and they name her Audrina.
No, don't do that.
No. And then they make her sit in a chair in the first Audrina's room and like rock in it and try to like get her, they say like her gifts or her memories, or like
they're trying to remake Audrina.
They're trying to remake Audrina, but it's kind of really vague as to how they're planning on doing that. But they make her do this all the time. And spoilers for My Sweet Audrina, because what it's actually is that she is the first Audrina.
Audrina, she didn't die? Yeah.
She didn't die. She didn't die. They erased her memory of the incident. First, okay, no one's going to read this book, but first they used electric shock therapy to erase it. And it was like kind of working, which apparently was like an old technique. And that was kind of working, but not super great because she got really obviously very depressed and not doing well after this incident in the woods. So after the electric shock therapy wasn't working very well, then they just took her home and they just did like self-hypnosis at home until she forgot about it. And then convinced her that she was born after the fact.
See, I thought it was going to be like a repression thing on her own. Where like she would have just blanked it out and then they just have to read. That's a weird thing for them to do. But then because I knew this was VC Andrews, I was like, okay, that was where my mind automatically went. But also, it could actually just be they had another baby named it Audrina. And now, I don't know, somehow she's going to fall in love with her brother by the end of this book. I don't.
Right. Well, luckily, I don't think there was any incest in this book. So, I mean, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you take like the bare bones of the story, like, it's like, okay, this could be an interesting concept, but the book was so terrible, I can't even begin to say.
Like, just badly written?
So bad.
Yeah.
It was so bad. I was, like, cringing the entire time. And there's so many weird little off stories and subplots, and I don't know. There's, like, this whole thing where her mom would have, like, twice weekly sessions in their house with her and her sister, and then they would put a picture of their old best friend who died like around the table with them, and then they would include her in their conversation over tea and like be her voice.
Oh, she didn't have a chance.
And then they would use that opportunity to say like super passive aggressive things to each other. Like, oh, Lucky, you're wearing that again. Oh, you know that that just makes you look so ugly. Like,
oh my gosh.
You know, just like really weird things. And I'm like, what? Why is this happening? Like, what does this have to do at all with anything in this story? Nothing. Oh. Literally nothing. It was so bizarre.
Yeah, she had like a really bad, like debilitating back issue, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that was a pain meds book.
Maybe.
That's weird.
Maybe because
although you know who did that well was Ian Reid in I'm Thinking of Ending Things. He did something kind of like a weird dinner scene, right? Where people
this
are
This is true.
Right. But I thought that was done great.
It worked much better. this happens like multiple times throughout the book. It's like it just keeps happening. Mm-hmm. And it's so weird. But yeah, it was terrible. But I still in the same way of her other books, I could not stop listening to it because like I knew how it was supposed to end, but I was like, how does it get there? What does all this other stuff mean? It was so bad, and I don't recommend it, but also, I mean, I don't regret reading it.
And you kind of recommend it a little.
I kind of recommend it a little just because it's like, it's so absurd and bad. I can't even say it's in the good way. Like the Flowers in the Attic, bad in a good way. This book was just bad, but still please read it and tell me what you think. Anyone out there, because it's literally labeled the worst book ever written, and they're not wrong.
I'm pretty sure VC Andrews sold her soul to the devil, because
right.
This makes no sense.
It makes no sense. Like, she is just so popular, but she wrote this actual garbage. Okay, her other books, I like them. I'm continuing on. Like, I'm having a great time. But man, that was a bad book. Whew.
Well,
anyways,
I read one last good book, and it was very, very, very short. I don't even know if you can call it a book. I read Evidence of the Affair by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Oh yes,
yeah. So this was a short story. And, like, it's very short. It's, like, 80 pages. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know if that qualifies as a novella. But on top of that, it's an epistolary format. So when it's letters, too, it's extra short. And it goes mm-hmm. super, super fast. Yeah, so I read it in a sitting. It is about a wife who writes a letter to another woman's husband saying, I am so sorry to tell you this. But I believe my husband is having an affair with your wife. Here is my contact information. I found these letters. If you'd like, I can send them to you. And if you have any, can you please send them to me? So eventually he writes back and he's like, yes, please send me those letters. I will look. And then they start a correspondence. And then we also get to see the letters between their husband and wife during their affair. So, and now normally, as you know, I hate affairs as any part of a story, but this one was so good because, like, there's no pretending like these people don't suck. And you're kind of like reading it from the point of view of the two. They're kind of each other's best friends through this because they're both going through the exact same thing. And yeah, they've got like the guy, he's a dad, they've got like four kids or whatever. And it's got all of like, you know, I don't want my life to fall apart. I don't want to lose my kids. And yeah. It was really fast. It was really well done. I loved how it ended. Yeah, it was really, really good. So it was, yeah, Evidence of the Affair. Oh, and then she had, I can't tell you the ending. Sorry, I almost told you the end.
Oh, yeah, come on. What the heck?
It was so short. I just forgot that wasn't also the beginning.
I started reading that one actually a long time ago, and then I just didn't finish it. I don't have a reason. I just forgot about it.
Oh, well. It's great. You don't tend to like letters, though, so I can understand.
Yeah, well, you don't like affairs, but
that's true.
Still but liked I did it, really so like it.
Yeah.
I like so maybe. Plus, I love Taylor Jenkins Reid, so I don't know.
Yeah, she's great. Maybe also because I didn't have to read about an affair for 500 pages.
Mm-hmm. 80 pages of an affair is much more palatable.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's all the stuff I read.
Okay, well, I read the second volume of the Heartstopper graphic novel by Alice Osman, and oh, it was so cute, you guys. Yeah, you just have to read them. So they are about this like teenage boy named Charlie, and he meets this other boy named Nick, and they become really good friends, but then they both really like each other. And then it's just kind of this cute, you know, boys
crush
meeting and
love.
Crush and yeah. loving and figuring themselves out. And so the second one is kind of Nick coming to terms with the fact that he's bisexual and what that means and what coming out is going to look like for him and talking to his family. And it's all written in the way of, you know how when we read The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet, there was conflict, but it all ended the way we wanted. All the conflict was resolved, but it was like satisfying and good. And that is how this is. There are issues and fights and different kinds of conflict, but it's written the way that you want it to go and the way that it should go in life. And it's wonderful.
So I'm looking, I wanted to see who the like artist was, because when I hear graphic novel, often like there'll be a writer and also an artist.
I think it's the same.
What's interesting. Yes, it's the same, because this was originally a like a web comic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think she like crowdfunded or something.
Yes.
I haven't looked too much into it, but I read kind of just her acknowledgments or something at the end. And yeah, she had raised money to kind of get it published. And
yes. Originally a webcomic on Tumblr and Tapas, Heartstoppers amassed an enormous online fan base with over 52.1 million views.
Yeah.
Yeah. She crowdfunded. Very cool.
Yeah. And she, as far as I could see, has a few novels, but I have not looked into them, but I'm going to, because I'm loving the characters, and the art is super good too. It's all super simple and the story is super simple, but somehow she's able to convey so much emotion through her art and just through like hardly any words. It's incredible.
Oh.
Like I teared up. Reading a graphic novel.
It looks very, very cute. I'm definitely going to check it out.
It's really good. Yeah, and I haven't watched too much of the show. There's a series on Netflix. I haven't watched too much of it, but I've heard that it's really, really, really good as well. So, yeah. It
looks like there's only four.
I think so. Yeah. So I've already put holds on the other two. I was like, why didn't I just put holds on all of them from the library? And I just kind of want to buy them. I just want to buy them now,
yeah.
In all honesty. So maybe it might just, you know, just go ahead and do that, because I mean, I want to support this artist and this, you know,
and support your bookshelf.
Yeah.
Win-win.
And then I can lend them out to people and everyone else can be as happy and cute as me.
Other book club would be so happy.
Oh, so happy. Yeah. I love making other book club happy.
It's the best.
Like sometimes I think that I just buy books so that I can lend them out to people at other book club.
I don't even read physical books. Sometimes if I like a book enough, I will go and buy it so that I can lend it to people.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, really, really liking that.
What a good time reading we've had.
Good times. I love it. You know, one good book, one really bad book that I still kind of liked, and one really good book. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a good time. So that's great. Great for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you got any other stuff?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about stuff. Come on. I've got to have something interesting in my life. We went to dinner. Happy birthday, Carolyn.
Happy birthday, Carolyn. Yep. Our biggest fan.
Our biggest fan. We took her. Well, yeah, we went to dinner with her.
Yeah.
She met us there. I didn't take her anywhere. Yeah. I'm going to bartend a wedding this weekend, so that'll be a good time. Have a night off with my kids.
I'll have a night on with your kids.
Is it funny that I'm like,
sucker.
No, they'll be angels for you, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my boys had birthdays. I mean, nothing interesting. My tooth broke.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
Sucks. Nothing exciting. How about you?
Same, nothing exciting. I've just been, working. I've been running more, so that's been a lot of fun. And I really like when I can get into the groove running, where I can also listen to my audiobook. Like, sometimes I can't. I don't know why. Sometimes I can run and I just have to listen to country music is like my running music. And then sometimes I can listen to my audiobook, and when I can, it's great. And then I can just keep running forever. Nice. For like 7 kilometers, which is what I did last time. Not, I have to be clear, because I keep saying I ran 7 kilometers. I did not run 7 kilometers. I ran walked combination.
4 7 kilometers.
Yeah. I have not, no, I just, I don't want anyone thinking I'm some kind of athlete. I walked.
All of a sudden you're at the bookish run-a-thon or whatever. Marathon. Yeah,
exactly. Really, I'm just walking, and then just, you know, when you're crossing the street and you just run like 2 steps to make it look like you're trying to go fast, that's, and then walking again.
I just move my feet really fast and I move my hands really fast.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's been really good. And yeah. Yeah, I got no other stuff. You know,
not that exciting. No, I finished Boba Fett, so yeah. Now I can start Obi-Wan. I got pre-sale tickets to Thor: Love and Thunder. You know, all the cool kid stuff.
Yeah,
don't want to brag, but I'm pretty cool.
We're hoping to buy a minivan sometime.
Yes, so that's me cool. Too. Oh, I wanted a minivan so bad, and Andrew just would not accept that I want a minivan.
Okay, so here's our advice to anyone who is having little kids. Do not buy any kind of vehicle with a third row that is not a minivan.
Yeah.
Do not do it.
Do it.
They are great if you have regular aged kids, like not in car seats. You just want to carry 7 people in your car. That's great. They do not carry children in the car. No, it's terrible. No,
I have 2 car seats in the middle row. So you can't just put the thing down. So Ben has to get in through the trunk, and I look like a criminal every time I put him in and out of the car.
And it's the same for me. We have 2 car seats in the middle row, and my oldest, who is 15, has to climb through the trunk. And we don't have an SUV. We have a Kia Rondo, so it's just a really big car. So it's like, it's tight back there. And then I feel so guilty about it that I just sit in the back. So I,
an adult woman,
35-year-old woman, is climbing in and out of the trunk. And it's embarrassing. I'm not going to lie. I hate it. So yeah, just ditch any third row idea vehicles. No.
I've got the 5-year-old in the third row. So he can just screw around all he wants. What am I going to do about it?
Right. I will say that when you're riding in the third row, it's kind of fun. It kind of feels like you're on a roller coaster.
Mm.
Yeah. But when you have to climb out the trunk, that gets old real fast.
Yeah. Pro mom tips over here.
Yeah.
God, I wanted a minivan so bad.
Yeah. Just get the minivan. Just do it. Like anyone.
Have you seen the Kia Carnival?
I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty really nice.
Expensive, but man,
yeah. We're looking at the Toyota Sienna Hybrid.
Nice. Yeah, the Sienna's nice. I really want an Odyssey as well.
Yeah.
The Odyssey.
It's okay. You guys, we're going to be getting minivans over here. We're going to be so happy.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like a joke. It's not.
Imagine just getting into the car and then just putting stuff in the car and it fits.
Oh, yeah. Oh. And then your kids just like all run in through the same door.
Yeah. It's amazing.
All my kids can run now. So have fun with that. But yeah, cool.
All right. That's our exciting other stuff.
That's our exciting other stuff. Let's do this nice segue.
All right.
Those are some great audiobooks we talked about.
Yeah, we do listen to a lot of audio. And if you are interested in purchasing any of these books on audio and you listen on Libro FM, consider buying them through our links in the show notes. We are affiliated with Libro FM, and every time you use our links to buy books, you are not only supporting your local indie bookstores, but also this podcast.
And if you are not listening on Libro FM yet, consider making the switch. When you sign up, you get to choose which bookstore you buy the books from, and a portion of your monthly membership goes directly to them. And if you choose our link, you support us as well. During checkout, use the code CHOOSEINDIE and you get your first book for free.
If you're joining us for book club this month, we are reading Siren Queen by Nevo, and our discussion is starting over on Instagram and Facebook starting today. We will post a new discussion question in our stories every day for the next week, so head over there and give us a follow at @best_bookclub.
All you do is type your answer to the discussion question in the box below, and we will respond to get the conversation going. Or go ahead and send us an email at best_bookclub@outlook.com. and let us know what you thought. And then tune in next week to hear our full discussion.
Otherwise, we'll see you next week for book club.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.